This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Audio courtesy of the Browns Radio Network. This is why I waited till this week to go nuts, because I knew I'd go nuts this week. I had a feeling. And here we are. Because I'm about to go nuts this week.
That's fine. The people, I was at a bar. And
you were at a bar.
It was the opposite. Well, it was the opposite of nuts. And I was interested because I'm like, boy, Ken all week said he would get real nuts. Everybody at the bar was just making fun of the Browns. It was more
That's my problem.
It was more of a
that's my problem.
Hey, we knew the other night, the time we played them, it was fun, it was memorable, but in the end, it was very fluky. Well, and everything had to come together to have a night like that to make us feel as good as we did. And then yesterday, I was not impressed by, you know, Pittsburgh or Russ. And, you know, the first half kind of comes and goes. And I'm like, man, Pittsburgh's not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere at all. And as the second half went on, it was so evident why the Browns are where the Browns are at and why the Steelers are where the Steelers are at.
It made me upset. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, we came in on Tuesday and we were like, oh, well, at least they were entertaining. At least they were fun. And how much did you spend on that offense? And in the back of my mind, I knew I was going to take my little moral victory, because I know, guys, I can't sit there. There becomes a time, like Lima and I both know a guy in radio who, after every single day, everything is an outrage. Everything is a complete and utter disaster. And I'm going, well, no, you can't. I don't believe you after a while. It's performative. So I have to go with my sincere emotions, and I have to go with it and think, all right, I'm entertained, but I knew that if they were going to lose out in Pittsburgh, and they were probably going to lose the way they always lose in Pittsburgh, which becomes a huge embarrassing failure over time. They've had like one loss that was decent in Pittsburgh, and that was the Brian Hoyer comeback on week one, where they still lost, but the first half was just a complete and utter abomination. The rest of them are just complete ritual killings for 60 minutes. Some way, somehow, they're going to let you squeeze yourself out and die. And that's what they did yesterday. And I felt bad, and I'll tell you why I felt bad, Tone, because I'm like, well, they're entertaining. They're entertaining. It's entertaining. I'm entertained. And I go, what a bar that we've set. And yesterday, why I got so mad, I'm watching Kadarius Toney a former first-round pick, and I'm watching Kadarius Toney. We're not going to do what you're supposed to do on special teams and just let the ball sail over. We're not going to do what you're supposed to do, which is not go out there as a guy who just got pulled off the practice squad and go out and make an ass of yourself and get into it with guys on special teams. We're not going to go out there and then turn around and muff the punt. While the issue is already out of control, we're not going to go ahead and we're going to do that. We got Dustin Hopkins. You're either hooking it left or then you're overcorrecting and doing it right. And I go, why are we subject to a great big grand experiment? Why are we subject to it? And then I don't want to turn it on the wrong people because I feel I'm getting frustrated with you that you're not as mad as
well,
I am.
What do you mean by experiment?
Because why is Kadarius Toney on this football team? Why? Because we wanted to see if he had anything left, as if the Giants or whoever else, if the Chiefs showed you, he didn't have anything left. But we have to have Kadarius Toney on this football team to come in and fill in. Okay, I know Cedric Tillman was hurt. We couldn't find anybody else. I'd rather had James Prochet out there. And he was out there, by the way. I would have rather just done it with him than have Kadarius. You knew Kadarius Toney was going to come in and screw this thing up. And by the way, I don't even mean to make it all on Kadarius Toney. It's the entire theory of it. Because yesterday, I'm driving to go get Liz gas, and I'm going to pick up food after the game, and I'm going, are we a franchise, or are we just some guy in San Diego's experiment? Is that where we're at? Is that what we are? Are we a franchise, or are we Andrew Berry's experiment? Because again, I'm left on a Monday morning not being able to make an argument for the guy. I have zero arguments for the general manager who, for all intents and purposes, is going to stay until his heart's desire. I got no argument for him. Give me an argument. His first round pick 5 years ago is never going to play for the Browns again, and people argue whether or not the injury is even legitimate. I mean, let's call it what it is, guys. The backup, Jermaine Ifedi, committed terrible penalties. The offensive line lacks discipline. The offense is bad, and in what makes it the worst out of all this is a realization I had, and when I pulled into the gas station, I couldn't forget it. I had to text you guys as fast as I could. I almost pulled off the side of the road in Streetsboro to do it. Is the calls we got, you hit it out of the park right when you walked in, I was holding it in this whole time. The calls we got, the opinion I had about, yeah, you know, you could start next year with Jameis Winston. You could start next year with Jameis Winston. Could Jameis Winston be that bridge? You know why we're saying that about Jameis Winston, guys? Ain't nothing about Jameis Winston. Ain't nothing against Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston's a fun, entertaining guy. You know what the problem is about that tone? Is that the albatross is so bad, we'll talk ourselves into anybody else. That's why. If DTR went out there and threw for 55% and had two touchdowns and two interceptions and they won the game 14-11, hey, you know, we could go with DTR next year. We could do that. If Bailey Zappe comes in, throws one touchdown, three picks, somehow they luck themselves into a victory, you know, we can go with Bailey Zappe next year. We'll talk ourselves into anything to get away from the albatross. And so it makes me feel worse because last week I'm like, did I not make a big enough deal about a loss on a Monday night? Should I have made a bigger deal about a loss on a Monday night? And I go, well, I can only go with my emotions. And I go, then you must be a sap as a fan, as a person who talks about him. Like, that's how I must feel about him. Because yesterday I'm just going, what? Kadarius Toney, I go, we're back to the land of misfit toys, where we're just going to figure out, hey, let's see if this guy has any legs left. Let's see if that guy has any legs left. Maybe we can find some diamond in a rough. I'm highlighting Winston Reed. Nothing against Winston Reed, but I'm looking for Winston Reed to go out there and make plays. What are we holding on to? What am I holding on to? You argued this with me before the trade deadline. Ken, we got to move on. No, we can't trade this fellow. We can't move on. What are we holding on to? You got no answer because you know you were right. You were right. We're holding on to nothing except for dead cap. That's all we're holding on to.
Well, they're obviously. Well, no, I'm interested because, first of all, did you, all the Pittsburgh fans that are in your life, was that like a rougher day for you?
No, I knew I had a feeling it was going to happen, and it ended up happening because you watch it. It's like that Simpsons episode when Bart buys the factory. No.
Because you let them have it. You let their fan base have it.
You want my phone?
You
take
let
my phone.
Have,
You'll find more porn on my phone than you will text from Steelers fans. There's no porn on my phone, guys. Incognito tab, I delete all that. Yeah. You'll find other things on my phone other than you will find no Steelers fans giving me hell. I'm telling you, here, take it. It was just watching the whole thing, seeing it, because I go, I'm watching the game. And I'm telling you, you're saying this as a Browns fan, you're saying this to yourself. Hopkins goes out there and he misses it. Okay? Right before the break, right before the half, you're going, okay, that sucks, but we're going in, we're getting the ball back at halftime. They got one run into him before we all of a sudden are going to have ourselves a problem. Jerome Ford gets the kickoff, takes it back to the Pittsburgh 39, almost wrote 36, 39-yard line to start it off. We're kicking ass, we're taking names. Nope. Misses wide right, I beg your pardon, on 4th and 14. That was the killer right there. That was the opening drive of the third quarter. Jerome Ford had a big run. You got a personal foul on Joey Porter Jr. We're cooking. You had Chubb for four, Ford for a couple. You had an OPI on Michael Woods, which kind of sucks, obviously. Then you had the scramble and the long incompletion. And then you're going, man, we can get Dustin Hopkins out there. It's still a one-possession game. It could be 13-10. Really could be 13-13, but let's try to make it 13-10. Nope, wide right, and you knew it. Every Browns fan out there listening to this sentence knew it at that moment. That was it. That they were going to let you choke yourself out. They were going to let you muffle yourself and end yourself. And that's what the Steelers did. Well, like, it wasn't the old-style Ben Roethlisberger where it's just bombs away and all that stuff. No, they're going to let you choke yourself out. That's what they did.
It was hilarious because I'm sitting there watching the game, and we watch so many other NFL teams. And basically now every team in the NFL goes for it on 4th and 1 uh-huh. near midfield. Not Mike Tomlin. He's like, there is no chance the Browns are ever going to be able to go the length of the field.
And they said it on the broadcast. Jim Nance and Tony Romo said, goes, a lot of teams, they go for it here. It's exactly, now you know, you were in a bar, you couldn't hear it.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Jim Nance said.
And they did it on a few different occasions. Where I'm like, the Steelers really aren't going to even try to get this. And, you know, I'm sitting there with my buddies, and my buddies are like, oh, they don't think the Browns can go the length of the field
Not a chance. And that leads me to, and I hate to give away everything here because it's a four-hour show, that leads me to another terrible thought. Jerry Jeudy looked excellent again yesterday. I went, oh, my God. Because I want to ask you something. Do you think that the Denver Broncos are going to go far in the playoffs?
No.
Okay. Now, I know what you said about the Pittsburgh Steelers, but, you know, they're both well-coached, and I think the Steelers are a better overall football team than the Broncos. The Broncos might end up being good, but I think the Steelers are in a better place. But let me tell you this. Defensively, the Steelers are further along. The Denver's defense has gone well, but it scares the bejesus out of me because I went, oh, my God, we're back to Josh Gordon-Lynn. Yeah, we'll let number three get his yards. We're not going to let anybody else beat us. Number three got his yards. Number three got his catches. Nobody else was allowed to beat him. And I went, oh, my God, we're back in that land. That was a 4-win football team with Brandon Weeden thrown, and you had no hope for the future. And here we are on December 9th. And I got no hope for the future other than these dreams that are passing fancies because we don't want the albatross to come back and play quarterback for us until we're willing to take anything and anybody, except we don't want to go back to the draft pool and then make another investment and maybe double down on a bad decision. Okay, fine, I can get that. But I'm telling you, we are so fed up and we are so desperate to get away from the albatross. We'll talk ourselves into anything. Anything. Oh, by the way, the people who were saying, well, Ken Dorsey, the offense is so much better with him. Everybody like the flip play on 4th and 1? Did that? Hey, anybody? Pat Shurmur, anybody? Oh, Ken Dorsey's done better. You know why? Because Ken Dorsey doesn't have the albatross playing quarterback for him the way that Kevin Stefanski did. Okay. And all you people are sitting there telling me, you gotta stop talking about him. It's been 2 months. No. It's going to be another 3 years because of the contract. We're going to keep talking about him, whether he's in uniform or not, because he's still beholden to you for another 3 years. Great. I feel like a fool for not making a big enough deal about it on Tuesday. I shouldn't have insulted my own intelligence. I shouldn't have said it was entertaining. I shouldn't have said that a professional football team that's up to the hilt in the salary cap played entertaining football on a Monday night. That was an embarrassment to myself. I denied myself the truth, and I apologize.
But you even admit it. You got caught up in the fact that it was, you know, between the crazy game, you know, the Steelers win, and as bad as it was when we started out the year, 1-6?
Yeah.
Did we start out? I mean, the season was over, really. It wasn't even all the way there. The season was over when they lost to Washington. When they started out, what, 1-4? Season was over then, because that was supposed to be the easy part of the schedule.
Yeah, but I don't want to say that sort of thing. I think we all knew, we just didn't want to say it out loud. Again, we deny ourselves the truth because we want them to win so bad, and we can't believe that it is this bad. But yeah, it's this bad. It's this bad. So there you go. Is entertaining enough? Am I overreacting? Am I overreacting here?
Well, overreacting, I think now the goal is just to play. Yeah, the Tony thing, I'm with you. I'm completely there with you. I think the goal is just see what you got with younger guys and lose. That's the goal.
I don't know if it's...
I mean, am I wrong?
Guys, I don't mean to sit there and make it... It's not all about Kadarius Toney. I'm not going to sit there and pin everything on Kadarius freaking Toney, of all people, for crying out loud. I'm not going
to
do that.
No, but I think fans are smart enough to know. They have exponentially more holes going into next year than we thought the last 4 years. And I think everybody, even the most delusional Browns fans, and so, understand that this franchise is at a total crossroads.
But I think what a lot of people we're talking to is like, yeah, Tone, we'll lose. Okay, we'll lose. And then what's the plan? Keep the same people and then go out there and do what? Probably lose again?
I mean, we don't know if they're keeping everybody. We don't know. If this thing spirals out of control, which, you know, you can make the argument it's been doing that now for 2 months. It's just happened. It's been like a slow drip, but they get four more of those that happened yesterday. I mean, they got the Chiefs. They're 6-point dogs. The Bengals, who knows? I mean, you finish the season with Baltimore.
You know what you say when you say it's a slow drip? It sounds like slow brewed coffee. We're right back to where it was again, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, I feel like maybe by the end of the show, I might be have overreacted to the underreaction from Tuesday. And that's on me. That's on me. I should have held professionals accountable, and maybe I didn't on Monday night, and that's my fault.
So, I mean, they were entertaining.
That's what we asked for. Entertaining football. Professional football. That's what it was. It was worth the price of admission. It was worth our time. That's where our bar is set. We want it to be worth our time. Was yesterday worth your time?
I thought I was with my friends.
Okay. Also, I'm going to try to... I want to be fair to you and let everybody else in the room, let Mitch and certainly Owen take stock. You're not nearly as upset about it as I am. I'm going to try to not get mad at you because you're not as upset as me.
Well, you can get mad at me if you want. That's fine.
Well, don't make it a challenge.
that's perfectly fine. No, it's tough. It is really tough because they... Obviously, we know they dug themselves in such a deep hole so early in the season. And somebody was like, Limey, I specifically remember you saying the season wasn't over before the Washington game or after the Washington game. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. Because, Kenny, probably a lot of the same of what you just told me that you were doing. You were trying to rationalize, well, why are we watching them the rest of the year? Other than we're hosts and we talk to the fans about the Browns all the time. But, I mean, there's no doubt, like, the season's so long. They dug themselves into such a deep hole that even me was trying to find some reason to invest time week after week after week. And part of it is, I got to say, like the Cavs, and I know they lost yesterday. We'll get to that a little bit later on. But, you know, with the Cavs and the college football world with this first ever playoff, it's kind of been easy for me to turn the page on the Browns and just kind of put them on the back burner. And so yesterday when my buddies are like, hey, come up to the bar, let's watch. And it just became a joke fest. It just became a hammering, doubling down, making fun of the Browns, which we weren't alone. We looked around, we were talking to other fans, like they were just one big joke. And maybe you want to look for where there is anger. I mean, there's truth in humor. That's where all those jokes are birthed from, is the fact that I think everybody knows that the season has been over for 2 months.
I know.
And we're just playing out a string.
I swear to God. Like, again, you look at 3-10, just the enormity of how bad 3-10 looks. And I go, what, guys, honestly, like, I sat here and I made arguments with you. I mean, I had knocked down dragouts with you about Myles Garrett, of all people.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have another one cooked up, I'm sure, coming up now that they're officially eliminated from the playoffs. But I sat there and I had big arguments with you about Myles Garrett and a lot of these other guys. What are we holding on to? What are we holding on? You're 3-10. We're going to lose more games. Oh, my God. Guys, we've been losing this. And now it's all out. The magic of last year, that's done. That is done. And I don't know when it's ever going to come back. Because, again, you're holding on to the albatross for another, through 2027, right? 25, 26, 26. Yeah, 3 more years. You got 3 more years. I don't want to turn it on you because I don't want to be like, well, he doesn't get the enormity of this. No, I think you do get the enormity of all of this. And the big ramifications that happen with all this that go on. And I'm thinking, man, now the kicker sucks. And I can't even make an argument for that. Even that would have been like, I'm not going to make a whole argument on whether or not Andrew Berry should stay based on a kicker for crying out loud. But like, man, I don't even have that anymore. There's not even that. Like, what am I always good at making trades? Other guys can make trades. I got to be able to hit on draft picks. And they're not hitting on draft picks. And now we have how many this coming year?
Right
now,
9.
And so it's going to be important to add good, young, cheap talent. I'm going to let that guy make 9 draft picks this year. Okay. All right.
I mean, I said
you
I wouldn't.
You think I'm mad now? I can't wait until December of next year. It's going to be something else.
I think you and I
have a heart attack right here on the air.
I think you and I have been on the same page.
That's how it's going to go down.
I am surprised there are so many people still defending.
I like him.
His track record.
I like him. He's a good man. I can't trust him.
I wonder how many fans would just say, you know what, we'll let John Dorsey make the picks. Go back and get John Dorsey. If you did that right now, if you ran a poll, I think Dorsey would win. I think it might even be a landslide.
Tony in Mansfield. Tony, hello.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in between. And, Ken, I agree with you, brother. And that's the way it's been. And it's just it's really easy for us to talk ourselves into anything, whether it be the quarterback situation or where we are as a team. But that's really the only thing we have to hold our hat on or, like, hang our hat on is the dead cap with the albatross. I mean, you can go through any position, any phase, whether it be continuity or anything, we just don't have it. And then you can try to hang your hat on, like, well, the offensive looks better under Dorsey. Like you said, but it's like, yeah, but we didn't have the albatross playing in the first 7 games. It's like there is not one position or set of position rooms that you can say, yep, this is good. Our offensive line is either old or completely out of whack or untalented. Our quarterback situation, running back, sorry, love Chubb. But Chubb is over with, and Ford isn't that impressive. And you can say that's a combination of the two. We have Jerry Jeudy, maybe that we might have found something in a little bit. But every position room on our team has digressed or just doesn't have it at all. And we're going to try to put the faith into a GM to make 9 picks, like you just said. It's like I'm past being frustrated. I just turned the game off yesterday. Didn't even watch it. Went out and got some yard work done. And like you said, we try to find it entertaining, but that's our standard now is just to make it watchable. Well, with Jameis, at least it's watchable. Well, that's hit and miss per week. We know it's going to happen. You know, it's like, all right, this drive guarantees he's going to throw an interception, and yet there he goes, throws an interception.
I was beaten down. Tony, I realized yesterday I was beaten down more than I thought I was. Yeah. Because if I'm setting a bar, and Tony, thank you for the call. If I'm setting the bar at just being entertained, I mean, that's as low a bar as you can get. That's lower than anything I could think of. That's lower than even trying to go to tank it out for draft picks. To just sit there and say I'm entertained, what am I doing this for? Am I just doing this because it's the ritual of sport? Is it the ritual that we're from here and this is what we do? If I'm setting the bar to be entertained, that's as low a slap in the face type of bar as I could possibly think of to myself, to everything involved. That's what it is. And again, I want to make an argument. And I can't. I have nothing. And I'm mad at myself for the lack of anger that I had last week. And I know that if I sit there and I start to whoop it up and get yelling and mad about the Dolphins game or the Bengals game or later, I mean, what am I really going to get upset about now? The horse has been dead. It's stinking. It's got bloat out there in the driveway. And I'm still going to sit there and still yell over the thing? No, somebody's got to stop beating it and get it the hell off the driveway. I can't sit here and scream and yell over every single loss. Like, this is my last stand of anger and frustration and vitriol before I just let it wash over me. Because I didn't realize how bad it was last week because I was entertained. He threw the ball all over the place, and Jerry Jeudy had a great, fantastic, empty calories. Empty calories. We lost to 2 teams that are going to the playoffs. I was happy we were entertained. Who's the clown here? Ain't you guys, it's me. Mike and Shaker, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hey, so I was down there in PA yesterday, and mind you, my whole entire family are Pittsburgh Steelers fans. I'm like pretty much the only Browns fan,
right?
So, yeah, it got to the point yesterday to where I started calling out the mess up in every single time I was writing. It was one particular play, I believe, and I just want y'all to know, I love Nick Chubb, I do, but he does not have it anymore. It was one play where he burst up the – where he was supposed to burst up the middle, and he ran so slow and cautious. I'm like, the old Nick Chubb would have just took that right to the house. We're in more trouble than I can think. Our running back situation is bad. Our kicking is bad. Our wide receivers, we only got Jerry Jeudy. Njoku's pretty good. He's probably – they was telling me all day yesterday, Steelers fans was, Njoku's your best offensive player. And what pissed me off the most, guys, is the fact that Pickens didn't even play the game. That I don't buy that, oh, his hamstring was this, his hamstring was that. No. Mike Tomlin said, here, I'm going to take my best offensive player. Since y'all think that you can beat us, okay, I'm going to take our best player off the field. Now let's see if you beat us. There's a running back who I don't even know who was running up and down the field on us. Come on.
Jalen Warren? Jalen Warren's been around a couple years. He's a pretty good running back. I mean, Najee Harris has certainly taken over that mantle, which he should. He's a first-round pick. But Jalen Warren's been good. Mike, I'll say this. I thought Jerome Ford had a good game, but I think I'm trying to put lipstick on the hog here, and I don't even know if I mean, I don't know what's good anymore. I mean, I'm highlighting Michael Woods just because I like the effort and I like the story. When I say these names, you know, I don't want to – like the guys who are giving effort and the guys who look like they're playing their asses off and the guys who look like they have some sort of promise, I don't know. When I mention their names because I want to give them some credit, it almost sounds like it's a disrespect to them, and I don't want it to sound that way. I'm just completely appalled at 3-10. I'm completely appalled. And really, I'm appalled at the frustration that I have at the future of this football team where I still have three more years to deal with this quarterback contract. On this team, because I feel things aren't going to change until the cloud has been lifted.
Exactly, and I think the future is bad. It's like you said, you know, I don't trust Andrew Berry, none whatsoever. This team has fallen apart year after year after year after year. We go through the same thing year after year after year after year after year. And at the end of the day, if our owner does not hire a competent front office who knows how to run a team, and not him, we're not going to go anywhere, guys. We're just not. We're just not. Love you guys.
Mike, thank you very much for the call. 216-474-0092.
Chummy likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like. No
like. He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Glimmer of hope, had to find something good.
Lime of light.
You know, you mentioned Jerry Jeudy. It was nice that he did catch a touchdown when that was a game yesterday. He finishes up in that matchup with just five catches, but 64 yards and did have the 35-yard touchdown catch. Did they ever get a good look at it? Normally, when you have Romo and Nance, which I was surprised they were on the game to begin with, but I know they didn't have the doubleheader and maybe they
had something early they had to do later.
Right. So they never got a look at, were you able to see how Jeudy got so open?
No.
And that guy's been running open from the moment that really they changed quarterbacks.
I don't know.
And Jeudy yesterday gets that touchdown, and I'm like, I thought he would be the focal point of the Steelers defense. But that was nice for him to get that.
That was back in the first quarter when I still had faith in him. Not Jerry Jeudy. I have faith in him. Yeah. Just faith in the Browns. Those are now everything Jerry Jeudy does is empty calories. So great. It's like eating a candy bar.
Well, it wasn't his fault though.
No, it's not.
It's not like
him. Wasn't Josh Gordon's fault either back in 2013.
It's not like him having these performances is the reason they're losing.
No,
it's like
God,
an
no.
NBA player, you know, hogging the basketball or something.
I don't want it to sound like that either, but I'm just in a real bad place right now. In a real surly, depressed place right now when I think about the now and when I think about the future. It's not good.
Well, I'm an
O-line. Maybe this will make you feel better. Kenny has yesterday, I was like, man, because I came in to look at the stats. I'm like, wow, TJ Watt must have had a monster game considering how many times they showed his brother in the suite.
Cheering for him.
Was that just an automatic that no matter what TJ Watt was going to do? I mean, I guess good for JJ for showing some support for all of the Steelers, because there wasn't much that TJ did to get him excited. Now, I missed the opening possession. I showed up at the bar at 107, and I didn't realize that I already missed basically two possessions of football because they were motoring right along.
Mm-hmm.
But what? TJ Watt had a tackle behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he had a TFL.
And then that was it. That
just
was
about,
it for the rest,
yeah,
of the rest of the performance.
Both teams were paying attention. One team paid attention to number 90. The other team paid attention to number 95. On the interception on the screen that everybody saw from like 2015 on, that was going to happen. I mean, everybody had tunnel vision on that. I didn't see Keanu Benton at first. I only saw the hands go up, and I go, if it's number 90, I'm going to break the television. Because it always, there's that way. You know, like was it Deshaun last year when he fumbled the ball and the ball just happens to bounce into number 90's arms? And I'm going, Lord Almighty.
Right place, right time against us until really recently.
Yeah, I mean, he is a good football player, so usually he's going to be around the football. But I just thought for sure, I go, if that's number 9, in your head, things move faster. Things move slower in your head than they do in real life. And I'm just thinking, if that's number 90, the TV's going off and it might go out the window. But it was 95, so, well, I could kind of live with it.
Yeah, especially after the trash-talking, you know, with the Myles Garrett having the performance he had in that game. Now, what'd you think of Myles yesterday? So he was very silent until, you know,
the end.
Pretty much garbage time.
Was saying that he was talking to the fans or something after the sack. I didn't really, he did do something small, but I didn't think it was like this, you know, overly
that was,
done.
That was definitely one
down
of those
by
games
20 silly thing
where the Steelers were going to use his aggressiveness against him because there were so many runs that you could see Myles was 5 yards into the backfield, turning around. The running back was, you know, 10 yards down. So there was a better scheme for Pittsburgh than it was, you know, in that that Thursday night game.
I mean, the way, I don't know, they should have been all the, I can't believe they didn't celebrate it like they usually do. That was another thing I was a little bit, I didn't see many celebrations yesterday on defense. Choreographed.
No, yeah, it was the Steelers who had theirs in the end zone. That was the only one they had.
What was the one that the social media account, the Twitter account highlighted a couple weeks ago?
Oh, the YouTuber.
Is his name Case Kai Sinat? Something? What is it?
Something.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar. Is that what it is, Mitch? Kai Sinat?
It is.
Here you go.
Lyman, no lie.
Well, I got bad news. Guardians are out of the Juan Soto sweepstakes.
Oh, well.
As is the rest of Major League Baseball.
Well.
He signs with the Mets. 15 years, $765 million, largest deal in professional sports history.
We were close.
However.
Lyman likes.
Hey, Shane Bieber is coming back to the Gardos, Kenny, as he inked a deal, $10 million in 2025, $16 million option for the year after, includes a $4 million buyout, meaning he could earn $14 million this coming season and enter free agency.
Good for him.
After that. Now, he's not going to be ready to start the season.
No.
I do not believe.
Probably not until June, right?
July? I was seeing May, maybe late May.
That might be nice.
Is that when we begin the stretching process?
That could be.
No hurry.
A little soft toss.
No, I don't want to hurry him now.
To get things going. Did that deal get you excited at all? Go weekend, because I think it went down on Friday.
Excited, no, but, you know, I was like, okay, it'll be nice to have him back.
I thought it was going to be a foregone conclusion that he was gone. So,
what's the last deal we've been excited by? Jose?
Oh,
that was a re-signing.
Yeah.
And this was a re-signing, too. Yeah, okay, never mind.
All right, we also had
Lyman likes.
Going into the weekend, how about Evan Mobley? 6 of 8 from three-point range, 41 points. In that game against Charlotte.
But we've been dreaming about, folks. The unicorn is here.
It was incredible. We won't talk about yesterday. He left the game with an ankle. He's fine. No walking boot or anything.
The game happened in Miami. It didn't count.
Yeah, on a Sunday. Kind of buried that game. What was it, a 6 o'clock tip-off?
Mm-hmm.
They were
in the tub.
Yeah, we did have news with the Buckeyes.
Lima Lights.
Holding number firm, number 8 in the playoff, and they are going to host Tennessee. It is going to be a night game. So they came out with the times on Saturday, December 21st. But the fact that they got a home game, it led Kirk Herbstreit to say this on the ESPN Selection Show.
After the way the Ohio State season ended against Michigan, I don't know if it would have been better for Ohio State to go on the road to get away from their home crowd that'll be booing after their third down not converting and the punter comes out, booing Ryan Day. They'll have to rally and have a good start to that game, or it could turn sideways with the home crowd, in my opinion.
So apparently getting the home game was
a no-like.
Was a Herbie no-like.
He's right.
I kind of think he's right. I think he's getting crushed.
Okay.
By the Ohio State fanatics. They love going after Herb Street.
The Herb Street family didn't like in Ohio State.
Yeah, probably didn't help at all. That also.
Let me know, like.
His son, Chase, quarterback, committing to Michigan. Now,
well, there's a nice how do you do.
Now, his brother is on Ohio State. His brother had a serious
Herb
heart
Street's
issue
brother?
Last year. Yeah, Chase Herb Street's Chase. Brother, Zach. Believe he's a special teams player, tight end. On Ohio State, but so Herbie has two kids. Well, he has three, I think, but one is going to Michigan, and the other is currently on Ohio State.
The house divided flags.
Yeah,
be everywhere.
Does his Tennessee flag? This is just odd all the way around because they live in Tennessee. Obviously, live in Nashville. Odd all the way around.
A little odd all the way around. I'll tell you that.
All right, not
how many kids does he have? Didn't one play at Clemson?
Well, I thought that maybe also Zach started at Clemson, but the older brother was at Clemson.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. That's a fine school, Michigan.
Should he, because he is a Herb Street, should, even though if this is the only team that offered him, because I think Michigan, part of it was to get the publicity, right?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Does Michigan need the publicity?
I think they love.
I don't know how good a son is.
Getting
a
Herb
I can't
Street
comment.
To come to Michigan, I didn't see any other real offers out there.
So was it, wait a minute, it couldn't have been like Michigan and like Lake Erie College. Like, let's hold, no offense to the fine folks over at Lake Erie College, but like, I think they would understand that Michigan's a different animal.
Mitch, can you give a deep dive on the recruiting journey?
If it was Michigan and ITT Tech, then maybe there might be something nefarious there, at least from Michigan's standpoint.
And we're not going to get to the sound right now, but Maria Stein Local, congratulations, their 15th state championship. They had a senior class go undefeated for years.
Yeah, they did.
For 4 years.
Yeah, they did.
Prompting some people to go, all right, need to get out of D7. Let's get out of there. Let's move your way up. But they've won state championships at D6. And did they also win one in D5 years ago? Not sure. But they've dominated. I don't think a senior class has ever had a four-year run like that. That's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding as always. Yeah, I was surprised they didn't. I didn't see much dancing yesterday. It's like Bob Fosse was their defensive coordinator.